Well, a funny thing happened on the way to the pulpit, because last week I had a plan, a preaching plan all laid out as to where I was going in this series with the family. But as things have evolved through the course of this week, I guess this is the only time I believe in evolution, but things have evolved through the course of the week. I felt like this is the right time to move a different direction. So I want to ask you this morning to just turn to Luke's gospel, to Luke chapter 13. Here's some thoughts that have been running through my mind on Thursday and Friday and the days that have followed. So I want you to look at Luke 13, and then I want to lay right beside it another passage of Scripture that's found in the book of James chapter 4. So if you would look with me in Luke chapter 13, the first five verses, and then in James chapter 4, verses 13, 14, and 15. This Memorial Day is different from others that we have experienced here in Jefferson City. For the first time, we've experienced a devastating tornado, and yet we praise God in the midst of the storm that there was much devastation and there was no death. Folks, when people have written really, literally, from around the world, how are you? Were your people affected? Was the church affected? Were you affected? All of those things, I have responded, and every time I think I've responded, I have put the word miraculously, there's been no loss of life. And hallelujah, we praise God that we can say miraculously, there has been no loss of life. If you've seen the devastation, if you've been down there, then you know that that is the case. And so we are very, very thankful to the Lord. So my preparation this week was all tied up in a preaching plan that's centered on family life and husband and wife issues, because the family is under fire, and it's incredibly important that we address that issue. So next Sunday morning, Lord willing, we're going to be right back on that path of dealing with family in America. But God has a way of interrupting us. And as often the case, he does. The best laid plans of a preacher often are interrupted, and it is generally interrupted by sorrow rather than by rejoicing. Tragedy and trouble have a way of getting our attention. Maybe you don't think about eternity much. Maybe that's not a thought that is frequently on your mind, but it ought to be. So this morning I want to talk to you about living ready. If you would look with me at Luke chapter 13, listen to these words. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering and said to them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? But I tell you that no, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Boy, those are hard words. Are these 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, do you think that you were that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The strangest thing occurred to me this week. This thought went through my mind is, I remember an old Southern gospel song. The title of the song was, God's Gonna Get You for That. And there are some people that live with the idea, well, it didn't happen to me. I'm more favored than anyone else. And so, and while we thank God for all of his graces poured out upon us, do we think that we were any more deserving of not having the devastation of a tornado? For some reason, we think that maybe they got it and we didn't get it because they deserved it and we didn't get it. No, 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 no. And that's what Jesus is saying to these people. He said, do you think that there's some special reason that that tower fell on them and didn't fall on you? But I'll tell you, ultimately, when you look at all of life, except you repent, we shall all likewise perish. Very straightforward words from Jesus. Then I come to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verse 13, this is a familiar passage. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. I don't know who first said it and put it in a phrase. Man proposes, God disposes. The essence of that is that we make all kinds of plans, and we do. Many of you did not intend to do volunteer work across your city on Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend's the time that, hey, it's barbecuing, it's going to the lake, it's doing a whole lot of things, and you didn't really think about what your life might become. And rest assured, the people that lived through the heart of Jefferson City, that was not on their mind when they settled down at home on Wednesday evening. And really, it was just Wednesday evening. It seems like a long time ago. I have a good friend that worked for Ameren UE. He worked at the Labadee plant. He's retired now, but several years ago, he bought a new boat. And he said he'd worked all day after he bought a boat. By the way, the two happiest days of boat ownership is one, the day you buy, and two, the day you sell. Two happiest days of boat ownership. I think, Brad, I don't know. No way. But I've heard that a boat is a hole in the water in which you throw money, and I can identify with that. So anyway, he'd bought a new boat. He couldn't wait to get to it to try it out. And he said, I had my plans were all laid out this evening. He said, plan A was that I was going to rush home, get the boat hooked up, and I was going to the river. Plan B was I was going to come over a rise and run into the back of a garbage truck just as hard as I could. Guess which plan was executed? It was plan B. Put him in the hospital. So, I mean, you have your plans made, whether it's plan A or plan B. And there's an undertaker in Northern Kentucky. I think they call them morticians these days, funeral directors. We used to call them undertakers. I guess they take you under. But there was an undertaker there in Northern Kentucky that gave my dad his business card, and my dad was a Baptist preacher. He gave my dad his business card, and it said, you may tie your shoes in the morning, but I may take them off at night. Well, that's kind of a graphic message. But I'll tell you, folks, I remember that on the night that my dad died. And we all went to the hospital, and finally, as many of you have been in the spot where they come out with a bag of earthly belongings, what you had on your body or what you had in your pockets or your wristwatch or whatever, and it's in a clear plastic bag, and they hand it to you there. And I looked, and there at the bottom of that bag were my dad's shoes, and I thought, he put them on this morning not knowing that somebody else would take them off tonight. And so it just really, with all that has happened, and I see Brother Ron sitting back here, one of our city councilmen, he's been in the midst of this all week, but with all that has happened this week, I think what we need to say to everyone around us is we have to live our lives ready. We don't know at what moment, any moment in life, we can step out in eternity to meet the Lord. And Luke chapter 13 tells us that tragedies do come, disasters do come. It's not because one group of people deserve it more than anybody. It's kind of interesting that on Friday, I received a long, rambling, five-minute message. I think 5 minutes as long as you can leave me a voicemail from a lady in New York City, a nut, who lives in New York City, telling me that someone had seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, seeded the tornado that came through Jefferson City. This was all part of some grand conspiracy plan that's, Ron, you might want to report that to somebody, but it was all part of some grand conspiracy plan, and so this is how, folks, there are nuts everywhere you look, and some of them are members of Concord Baptist Church, but there are nuts, but there are nuts, okay, so that's fine. But I'm just simply saying, so is it somebody deserved it, somebody didn't, somebody didn't, somebody did, judgment gets dumped on somebody, is it judgment, is it just simply one of those things that happened? Well, this morning I want to share with you four simple things. Number one, we are to live humbly. I think most of us have had that emotion this week. It's that Kris Kristofferson, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? And it also turns around the other way. It's kind of like, Lord, why them? It could have been me. It could have been 2240 High Point Road. It could have been me while I was sound asleep in the midst of other people going through a storm. And so we come out of it with a bit of a humbling thing. We need to live ready because we need to live humbly. And Jesus put this word to them. If you have any thought about anyone else, it's like, okay, they got it, we didn't get it. Whew, boy, that's good. He said, you better remember this, that for everybody out there except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So it's not about when you die or how you die or any of those things or the situations of your death. The truth is, the day is coming for every one of us when we're going to step into the presence of the Lord. We just don't know. James chapter 4 tells us that we may make plans, but we may not fulfill the plans. You make all kinds of plans. Life is a vapor. And just like the steam that rolls out of that steam kettle in your kitchen, you may try to get a handful of it, but you can't hold on to it. It may be like the fog that rolls through the valley. You say, it's so thick that I could reach out and touch it. Well, you can reach out and try to touch it, but you can't get a hold of it. The truth is, the same way with life. We live our lives humbly. It is by God's grace, by His mercy, by His goodness. We have what we have. We've been blessed as we've blessed. We can respond as we respond. We can help as we help. It is all because of the goodness and the mercy of God. I'm telling you, folks, our God is good. Amen. He is a good God. Live humbly. Here's the second thing. Live wisely. Pay attention to what is going on around you, James says in James chapter 4 and verse 14. Listen to these words. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. Jesus said the same thing. No man knows what a day may bring forth. We're always living in His hands. This past month, one of the best Bible teachers in America went home to be with the Lord. Now, you may not be that familiar with the name Warren Wiersbe. But Dr. Wiersbe, for many, many years, spoke a great word, word after great word, into our generation and the generation right before us. He lived to be 89 years old. He wrote a series of books that many of you probably have at least one of them somewhere in your house. It's called the B Series, and it's Be Joyful, for instance, his commentary on Philippians, and Be Right, his commentary. And one of his 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, is Be Ready. So early May, Dr. Wiersbe went home to be with the Lord. He wrote about the brevity of life in his commentary on the book of James. And he said, this is one of the repeated themes of Scripture. To us, life seems long and we measure it in years, but in comparison to eternity, life is but a vapor. James borrowed that figure from the book of Job, where you find many pictures of the brevity of life. And Job wrote many things about how short life is. For instance, he said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, Job 7:6. The cloud is consumed and vanishes away, 7:9. Our days upon earth are a shadow, 8:9. Now my days are swifter than a post, 9:25. Speaking of the fact that a king would send out a messenger to all of his kingdom, send out the post. He said, my days are swifter than a post. They are passed away as swift ships, as the eagle that hasteth to the prey, 9:26. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not, 14:1-2. Wiersbe said, we count our days, count our years at each birthday. But God tells us to number our days, Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. After all, we live a day at a time, and those days rush by quickly the older we get. Are you noticing, folks, that the older you get, the faster it picks up speed? Life passes quickly. I remember years ago, Jonathan and Hannah having this discussion. They were just two little bitty kids, and they were having a discussion. Hannah asked the question, how long to Christmas? And Jonathan said, 3 years. That was the answer. So he's about the size of Vance or Ross when he said, 3 years. And I mentioned that in church one time, and an older fellow came up to me after it was over. He was a real old guy. He's about 65. And he came up to me after it was over, and he said, you know, I think I understand why this happens. And I said, well, enlighten me. Tell me why it happens. He said, well, when you're 3 years old, it takes one-third of your life to pass away before you get to the next Christmas. And I thought, that's exactly right. When you're 20 years old, it's only 1/20th of your life. When you're 50 years old, it's 1/50th. When you're 65, it's 1/65th of you. And it just seems like the further you go in life, that life picks up pace. And that's why Solomon, writing in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, one of my favorite passages is Ecclesiastes chapter 12, because it just talks about the process of life. You get to the point where you don't want to climb up on something high because you might fall down. You count the teeth that are in your head and see if they all belong to you or if they're somebody else's. You have to have assistance with hearing. You have all of these things, and you know that for God it's no trouble anymore to the number of the hairs that are on your head. God hadn't spent a lot of time worrying about that with me for quite a while. You know all of those things, but the Bible says the first verse there is, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We're supposed to live our lives wisely, giving Him every single day of our life. So we're to live our lives humbly. We're to live our lives wisely since life passes by. Dr. Adrian Rogers wrote, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in traveling on, time gone. Life passes quickly. Not in my notes, but I remember in a high school assembly one time, this was back in the 1900s, in a high school assembly one time, Mr. Ira Bell was our superintendent, and he was an old, old, old man. He was probably 66. And he could quote, 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 quote. He stood up one time in an assembly and in the midst of talking about how we ought to live our lives. I mean, he'd get us in that gymnasium. He'd preach to us. Nobody could hear a thing, but he'd preach to us. But I remember him saying this, lost somewhere between sunrise and sunset. Two golden hours, each stuffed with 60 diamond minutes. No reward offered, for they're gone forever. That's why, folks, you better maximize your life right now. Live humbly, live wisely, live submissively. It's really all about the Lord's will. What does God have for us? I think many of us have come to understand the great truth of life is that come ill, come well, whatever it is, we got to trust Jesus. We must trust Jesus. And we live our lives submissively under His will. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We are to be wise in understanding what the will of the Lord is. We know that if we are told to take shelter, we need to take shelter. We also know that the greatest shelter that we have is under the hand of our mighty God. In the dark of the midnight, have I oft hid my face while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Amidst the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. I'm telling you, better submit yourself. Living your life under the hand of God, under the Lord's will, is the only way to fully live your life and to live your life fully. It is to do what God would have you to do. Do you live your life in accordance with God's will? We're to live our lives submissively. I heard about a young man got all dressed up to go to town, and he had on his good suit, and he was looking good, and he checked himself in the mirror and headed down the road. And as he's going down the road, he passed a barn where there was a farmer that was working on his barn, and the farmer just stopped for a moment and engaged the young man in conversation as he was headed toward town. He said, hey, buddy, where are you going? He said, he's all dressed up. He was headed to town to have a good time. He said, I'm headed to town. I'm going to have fun. He said, well, really, that's not what you should say. He said, well, what do you mean? What should I say then? He said, well, you're going to say, I'm going to town if it's God's will. And he said, well, God, the will of God doesn't have anything to do with it. I am headed to town, and I'm going to have a good time. Okay, see you later. Down the road he went. In a little bit, here he came. That fancy suit of clothes he had on had been torn all to pieces. He looked like he'd been in the briar patch. He was tore up all himself. And he came up, and the farmer stopped him and said, hey, thought you was going to town. He said, well, I'm not. He said, why not? Because he said, well, I thought I'd take a shortcut, so I started through the field, and I didn't know there was a bull in the field. And the bull got after me, and the bull chased me and ran me through a briar patch. I got hung in a barbed wire fence. I got tromped on, stepped on, torn up, clothes torn up. And the farmer said, what are you doing now? He said, I'm going home if it's the Lord's will. So you kind of have to live your life that way, folks. Live your life submissively. So we're to live our lives submissively. But the final thing this morning is we must live our lives ready. That's the title of the sermon, but it's my final point as well. Amos chapter 4, verse 12 says, prepare to meet thy God. Are you ready to meet him? Because the truth is you're going to meet him, and you may not have a week to get ready or a month to get ready. I don't think Jonathan would mind me sharing this, but just Monday a week ago over here on Edgewood, he had somebody come across and hit him head on. And so he said just momentarily before the crash took place, what thought was, this could be it. That wasn't it. And through airbags and seat belts and the mercy of God, he's over here trying to stay awake right now. But not any, you think, well, I am a good driver, but you can't control what's going on in the other side of the road. You're meeting somebody at a high rate of speed. You have no control of that. I'm telling you, you say, well, okay, I've got time. I'm going to repent and get ready to meet the Lord when that time comes. And if a tornado is coming, I'm going to say, oh, God, if you ever want to save somebody, save me. Well, folks, it doesn't really work that way. So that's why you got to live your life ready. The old fire and brimstone evangelist Billy Sunday said, deathbed repentance is burning the candle of your life for the devil and then blowing the smoke in God's face. You say, can God save on a deathbed? Of course he can. Can God save in the last moment? We're not going to limit God on all that, but I'm telling you, you may not even know when the last moment might come. And it could be through a cerebral hemorrhage, or it could be through a heart attack, or it could be through any number of physical things. It could be something that takes you out of your home, sucked out of your home. It's like, Lord, I'm coming home, but you may not even know what home you're coming to. I'm just simply saying, when the Bible says, remember now, when it says, decide now, prepare to meet thy God, was the word of Amos to the people of Israel. He said, judgment is coming on Israel. You better get ready to meet God. Well, that same message resonates through all of God's word, because today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to get right with God. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Nobody knows what a day may bring forth. So coming to Christ right now in the moment is the only time you have to come to Jesus is the present time. It's the only time you have. There was an evangelist, an old preacher, Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists ever, and started Moody Bible Institute, and God used him. Somebody said Moody took England in one hand, the United States in the other, and rocked them both toward the Lord. But on October the 8th, 1871, Moody said he made the biggest mistake he ever made in his ministry. On that particular Sunday night, at the place that he preached, Farwell Hall, I think it was named at that point, in Chicago, Illinois, he got up and preached, and he preached from the story of Pilate, with Jesus standing before Pilate. And Pilate turns to all the people and said, then what do you have? What would you have me do? What should I do with this Jesus who is called Christ? And so The people had cried out, crucify him. But he put the question, he preached that day on what will you do with Jesus. He put the question to them at the end, what will you do with Jesus? And the question he did, he said, I did something that I'd never, ever, ever done before. I gave him a week to decide. I want you to think this week what you're going to do with Jesus. And he said, I had Ira Sankey come and sing that closing hymn. And Sankey said, before he could ever finish that song, the great bell in Chicago was ringing, and the alarm was going out all across the city that a cow had kicked a lantern over, and the great Chicago fire had started, and because the wind that was blowing in off the lake, it burned that city. And Moody said that many of the people that were in that building that night did not survive the week. He barely survived. Sankey had to take all his possessions down to the lake to keep them from being burned up. They both barely survived. And Moody said it was his greatest regret because he didn't press upon people that very night that now is the day of salvation. You cannot boast yourself of tomorrow. And folks, what he said was true. You can't boast of tomorrow. And we don't know how much longer we have. And we don't know whether it'll be in a tragedy community-wide or whether it... And we don't know if there'll come a time we'll just lay down and go to sleep, but we do know this much. We need to live our lives humbly. We need to live our lives wisely. We need to live our lives submissively, and we need to live our lives ready. For in such an hour as we think not, we could be in the presence of the Lord. I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning. No man knows the day nor the hour. But for every one of us, there is going to be a meeting. And we will step into the presence of the Lord. So I give this direct invitation this morning. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life when you said, Lord Jesus, I want to be saved? If you've never done that, if you've never said, I want to be saved, then this morning, there would be a great time to say, Lord, save me. I want to be saved. I want Christ in my life. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you have to ask him to. He's not going to barge in, push his way in. The Holy Spirit speaks to your heart of your need of salvation, of living ready, because you don't know, we don't know what any day may bring. Heavenly Father, this morning we pray for this congregation, for everybody that's gathered here today, and I pray, Lord, that we will be ready. Father, those that have gathered here today that have never trusted Christ as their Savior, that this very, very morning, that they will open their heart to Jesus and make the preparations for the time when they will stand in your presence and they will be ready. For those across our community, Lord, we pray that in the midst of all of this tragedy and all the good wishes and goodwill that goes forth across this city, more than anything else, we pray that the grace of God will be showered upon this community and that many people will see their need for Jesus and will come to know him as their Savior. Father, speak to our hearts. May your will be done this morning in this invitation. We give it to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.